We had our players of the week were Tyler and DeRick on offense, Kurt Majit on defense, who continues to play really consistently well, and Byron Moore on special teams. He did a good job. We activated him and made a tackle on kickoff, and he kind of sprung that punt return for Devron. Injuries, updates, not a lot going on. Crump is back. Herman's still a couple of weeks out, so he's not ready. And you guys know Justin had successful surgery, and so he's in his rehab mode. You know, everybody knows Georgia pretty well around here, and they whipped us good last year, about as good as you can get whipped. They're probably as talented as any team in the league. What you notice about them defensively is their stature, they're big, and they're physical. And they've been playing lights-out defense, especially the last three games. You know, you look, I think they've only given up one touchdown in the last three games. It's pretty impressive. I don't care who you're playing. So going to be a big challenge for our offense to see if we can move the ball. And on offense, it looks like they found kind of their missing piece, and that was a good runner. Their runner is physical. He's fast. He's productive. And, of course, that allows them to be efficient, which is what they want to be on offense, very balanced. So we'll see about our team. I don't know. I made the comment, I don't know who we are really yet, and only time will tell. And so this will be kind of the next step.
Derek, you've had a number of players talk already about last year's game and kind of, you know, embarrassment from their effort and a hangover from LSU and wanting sort of, I don't know, redemption or revenge. In your experience, how much of a factor can that be?
My experience has been that I've never been one of those kind of guys where you want revenge. I mean, you should never put yourself in a position to be wanting that. And we didn't play well last year, and they played really well. Let's don't forget that. They played well, and we didn't. But my biggest thing is, you know, how are we going to play? And we shouldn't have to have last year's motivation to play well. We need to be. We only get 12 days a year that we get measured on. I tell our team that all the time. And there's no excuse not to be ready as coaches, as players. And so all I'm worried about is how much, you know, we've improved, especially going against a good football team. So, you know, what are we going to look like compared to what we looked like 2 weeks ago, really?
Derek, what's your impression of Aaron Murray?
I think he's extremely talented. He's got a very strong and accurate arm, so he can make every throw on the field. But they're missing piece. You know, they struggled, I think, in the past to have that running back that they can feature, and that opens up the play action game, and that's what they're doing.
Derek, you mentioned that you don't really know who this team is, and that may be a negative for you. Is that a positive? You don't know this team, that none of your opponents can know them either?
That's really what I mean, and
well, Dooley sounds like he's on our remote equipment there. We'll reconnect with that and get back to you when events unfold. We'll fold back in. This is professional broadcasting 101 here. Derek Dooley saying, though, in essence, there really is no excuse not to come out and be ready. You only get 12 times a year, he said, to be judged. Talking about the Buffalo game. Let's get back to Dooley.
Both units in the return game, you know, so there's some progress in a lot of areas. The problem we're having in the kicking game is having a horrible breakdown. And we haven't had a good clean game. You know, when I say clean, meaning if you don't make a play, okay, but don't give one up. And so two games now we've given one up. And really there's no reason. It had nothing to do with the opponent. Nothing. Nothing to do with some scheme. Nothing to do with something they did. Nothing. Everything to do with us. And so we just got to do a better job of practicing and coaching. But I'm always concerned in the kicking game, especially when you play fast and physical football teams like Georgia, because they got an excellent returner, Boykin, makes a lot of guys miss, and it changes field position. So, I'm concerned every week in the kicking game.
Are you at the point where you're moving newer guys in and out, or are you trying to just coach up the guys that are?
We're trying to get settled in. That's part of the problem. You have so much inexperience. You know, I think we only have like two returning starters on our punt team. I mean, so those things people don't really look at as a issue, but coaches do. And so you got to get experience and get out there and play and make some mistakes and hope those mistakes don't kill you. Unfortunately, most of the time they do in the kicking game. When you have a breakdown in the kicking game, it's a 40-yard play. When you have a breakdown, the right guard has a breakdown, sometimes we get 2 yards. So it's not as noticeable.
You're talking about participation versus production. Mm-hmm. Some of the players were talking about learning to finish games. I mean, is that just an experience thing? How do you teach them?
Well, what happens when I say participation versus production, you know, okay, let's say we're in man coverage. I got this guy, and he's kind of jogging off the ball. Nothing's happening. I can either just stare at him and never move, and all of a sudden the runner's running right here, or I can say, I got this guy, and I'm feeling it, and then, oh, here comes the ball, and I trigger and make a play. And that comes with experience, you know, not saying, well, you told me I had that guy, and that's my job. Well, your job ultimately is to tackle the guy with the ball. So, and that comes with experience and confidence and not being afraid to make a mistake. I think it just comes in time, but we got to keep coaching it. And, you know, it's coaching aggressive football play. That's what it is.
After seeing film from the Buffalo game, what do you feel like the team improved on the most from Spivey?
Again, I don't like to make judgments on one game, but certainly the same thing everybody noticed, we ran the ball better, and that was a real concern going into the game. So that was good. And I was real pleased with how the offense played. I was concerned with how we were going to be able to generate yards and points. And so I was pleased with that.
Derek, are you surprised at how accurate Tyler's been?
He's I don't know if surprise is the word, John, but he's been extremely accurate. But he's been that way since he came here. And when he knows what to do, that's the key. His accuracy breaks down when he's not sure. So anytime we do new stuff, it just takes a little while. And then once he gets it, he's got it. But there's no question that's been the reason we've had success on third down the way we have, is because of his accuracy. It makes it real easy. He's got a catchable ball, puts it, you know, where the defenders aren't. And that's a sign of a good quarterback. There's not been many good quarterbacks who aren't accurate like that.
Is there a big shift in preparing for a team that's predominantly 3-4? Have you guys seen enough of three-man fronts already?
Well, we've seen enough. Buffalo was 3-4, so there was a lot of similarity there. And, you know, what's happening now is most teams are more hybrid. I mean, they're 3-4, but they also play 40. And they get in a 40 front with 3-4 personnel, and then they get a little 3-3 nickel. So everybody's multiple now. And that's why that chemistry and experience is so important up front, communication. You see a lot of plays getting made on Saturday, breakdowns. And it's because defense is nowadays more than ever create confusion. by the multiples that they play with.
And they seem to have found something in their pass rush the last couple of weeks. Can you just talk about your
who are guys?
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia? Oh, yeah. Well, they're just playing good defense overall. You know, playing good coverage behind it, which gets the quarterback looking around, and then they keep – I mean, they have some massive guys up front that they just take the O-lineman and throw them right into the quarterback, 350 pounds. And then they got some good speed on the edge. So, you know, these guys have had, I mean – top of the country recruiting classes every year, so you should expect to play. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get a deep, talented football team.
Derek, do you think, in general, that mobile quarterbacks expose some of those missed assignments or missed tackles maybe more than other positions?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Are you talking more in terms of the zone read teams?
Anytime, you know, holding contain, you know, Jacquez had a problem on his own read play.
Yeah.
But anytime a quarterback can extend a play.
Well, there's two types of running quarterbacks. You know, one is a true, almost like a running back in the backfield. And those are difficult to defend because they spread you out and you can't account for the extra guy. And so what happens is the mistakes get compounded because of the space that's been created, if that makes sense. So that's why that, but there hasn't been many of those types of quarterbacks who also can pierce you throwing the football. And so you can't have it both ways. And there's a durability issue. That's the two risks in that kind of deal is you're not going to have the aggressive passing attack. It's going to be more play action, or quick stuff, and your quarterback might get hurt. So that's the risk. The second kind of quarterback that can really scare you with his feet is a guy like we're playing this week, who's really more of a true pro-style quarterback but can take off. And that causes a lot of problems because you're back there defending in coverage, and if you don't keep the integrity of the pocket, you're in trouble, if that makes sense. So it's a different deal for the D-line. You know, and the other way, you don't really worry about the guy throwing, so it's more keeping him in the pocket. Well, here, you worry about the guy throwing, so you better get the pass rush going. Well, all of a sudden, you lose the integrity of the pocket, and he's gone. So they hurt you in different ways.
You said that Tyler was more accurate when he knew what was going on. Do you think he's has a better sense? He's reading the defenses better this year?
Oh, yeah. He's playing a lot better. He's playing good football. I mean, you look at his numbers. You know, I know we always want to find the bad in people, but he's playing good football, man. It's hard to – he's made mistakes. He's not perfect. But there's not many quarterbacks out there. It don't matter. I don't know how you say it. Playing fast but calm. And sometimes – he gets a little jerky and antsy and, you know, high anxiety, and he sees things and he stops and makes a cut and he makes another cut. And so if he could play with a little more calm when he gets in the secondary, you know, I remind him that he's really a fast guy. But when the ball breaks out, the best thing he can do is just run straight instead of making a lot of cuts. And so I think he'd see more production if he did that, and he's working on it.
Derek, is Carl pretty much everything you look for in a running back?
Yeah, he's got the size and he's got good body quickness, so you never really get a clean hit on him. And he can break tackles, and he's got speed. You saw a play the other day; he stepped out of bounds, but he circled the Mississippi State defense and took it. So he's in his first few games, he's shown that he's got the tools, if that makes sense. Now, what will he become? Again, time will tell. Body of work.
Derek, is there any sense at this point in the schedule that there's kind of a turning of the page and getting into maybe more of a measuring stick kind of games?
Well, I think the first thing, and I told the team this, we're not playing October. you know, is I've heard more people say the next four games, October. And I'm thinking to myself, we're playing Georgia, and that's it. And it doesn't matter who we played last week or who we play next week. You just got to go week to week. And is this another measuring stick of where we want to be? Of course it is. And, you know, but I think every game in some ways is by how you perform. And so, you know, we took care of three non-conference foes pretty handily. I don't think Tennessee's done that in a long time. And I think that's good. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But ultimately, we're going to get measured on how we play against these teams. And I understand that. So this is one game. And if we don't play well and we get beat, then we got to wake up and go try to correct it and play the next team. And if you do play well, we can't start getting excited because they keep coming. And I don't know of any other way to think other than that.
Yeah, it seemed like you guys kind of sped up the tempo on the offense a little bit on Saturday. Is that something you maybe want to do moving forward? And what's the benefit of that?
We have different paces, but we're really not a up tempo. We're a rhythm. I mean, we break the huddle. We're snapping the ball probably at the same time as a lot of no huddle teams by getting in the huddle. Really been, yeah. I hope we can keep that up. And it's a big boost when you have something bad happen. And that's one of our, you know, we have about 8 or 9 unit objectives that we talk about every week. And that's one of them, is how we handle sudden change in a game. And so far in the last two games, it's been great.
Very measured there by Derek Dooley. Great hearing from him. 546-2148, 888-859-1180. If you want to join us today, that's great. Great hearing from Derek Dooley today. We'll take a brief time out. We'll come back. Interesting stuff coming up with Georgia on the horizon. The big news from today from Derek Dooley, not really a lot of news around the team. Pretty healthy club going forward. And time for Tennessee to show up in a game like this. Let's hear from you at 546-2148 or 888-859-1180. Can you feel me on that? What is your level of confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 coming into this game? You, Harvey, what is your level of confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 coming into this game? We'll take that as we come back. We'll take your temperature at 546-2148 or 888-859-1180. Tennessee, Georgia, 7 o'clock. Something's going to happen in Neyland Stadium, and I've got a feeling it's going to be something pretty good. I thought that Georgia would be a little more in the tank than they are right now, but they're still not a very... They're okay. They're not great. They could have been in a lot worse shape. I think they really benefited from the fact that, quite honestly, after the 0-2 start, they really had a soft hole in their schedule. I thought Mississippi State would be better than they were. Who knew Mississippi was going to be just as bad as they are. So really, what Georgia's done since the 0-2 start, if you think about it, is they've gotten to play a directional school, and then they turned around and they played a really bad Ole Miss team, and they played a Mississippi State team that looks like they're heading for 6-6, Phil, in the Western Division. And so that said, what can we really tell about Georgia? Well, probably about as much as we can tell about Tennessee, which is Tennessee's one test of the year at Gainesville. They didn't exactly pass. They didn't exactly fail. Georgia, same thing. You know, Georgia played South Carolina off their feet, had a chance to win the game late. Georgia played Boise, and Boise is a top five team in America. But Georgia didn't get embarrassed in either one of those games. So you've got two, what I would call, middling programs here. Two anywhere between 6-6 and 8-4 type football teams are going to play in Neyland Stadium Saturday night. And Tennessee needs to get a win. Can you feel me? That's going to be our theme this week. Tennessee, absolutely. This is a game, and I'm not going to hold Derek Dooley up to undue expectations. I'm not. But this is a game, and he knows it. You can tell by the way he's talking that he knows that Tennessee needs to get this game. This is a credibility football game for Tennessee going forward. Is that too strong? Perhaps. Is it too early to start saying that? Perhaps. But it's the way I feel. It's the way I feel. And sooner or later, you've got to win a game like this. You just do. And we'll take a brief timeout. So my question for you today is, why not us, and why not now? As we take a brief timeout, more after this.